Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program of Bruce Miller, a longtime entertainment reporter. And Bruce, you know, we record a week in advance, so this news kind of broke a little bit, you know, more than a week ago now, but it's still so shocking, the loss of Rob Reiner. I mean, we're talking one of the greats, one of the legends of Hollywood, whether it's, you know, his start in acting, All in the Family, the beloved Meathead, to some of the best movies of all time, Harry Met Sally, Stand By Me, Spinal Tap. It's just shocking.
Yeah. And, the circumstances around it is so sad. And I don't know if it's indicative of the times or what, but he'll be missed. He'll be missed. It's too bad that others aren't as remorseful when they heard about his death. And you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
He did a lot for the industry. And yes, he was political, but aren't others? You know, even James Woods,
right,
who was on the other side of the spectrum, he said, you know, no. We have to remember that he was a good guy who did good things and cared about his country. And it's just really sad. And the idea that is both the husband and the wife both die. Oh, that's not good. Their children. Nope. I mean, yeah, children, they're in their 30s. But that really, it leaves a hole that you just, how do you handle this? It's not good. But he left a legacy in film that is incredible. You know, go have a Rob Reiner Film Festival and watch some of those films. He had a really good touch that was tender and evocative and heartwarming in some cases, and then kind of very strident and mean in others. And you just look at things like Stand By Me, incredible. That film always makes me cry.
Yes.
And then you look at A Few Good Men, and come on, where else do you get something as iconic as You Can't Handle the Truth? It's too, I hope you agree with me. I was digging through the files and I found a story that was when I interviewed him for The Princess Bride. All right, now, yeah, you're going, how old is Bruce? He must be ancient. And I am. But he talked about how that was something that really struck him when he was 26. And he said, this really speaks to me. I want to make this as a movie. And he worked very hard to get the rights to it. He said at the time they wanted it to be a big George Lucas kind of blockbuster. And they wanted all the special effects and all that. And he didn't want to do that. In fact, he said what we kind of did was real hokey and kind of simple. And look at how it stands up. It's still going strong now.
I remember going a number of years ago. I visited Seattle for my uncle was having a birthday party, and we went to the Experience Museum in Seattle. Have you ever been there?
No.
So it kind of started more as a rock museum because of Jimi Hendrix and Nirvana and all this stuff, but it eventually went more into pop culture, and they had a huge display of Princess Bride memorabilia and movie pieces and stuff. So you could see the dresses and the swords and all and it was so much fun to be able to see this and relive such a fun, childhood memory. It's a movie that I still love seeing it when it comes on TV. I could still quote the lines to it. It's just so much fun. And yeah, I mean, this is just such a shocking loss. I mean, you think about it, it's somebody that's still so active also, where he just, not just in directing,
yeah,
just did Spinal Tap 2. He was a guest star, Albert Schnurr, on the last season of The Bear. You know, that was a fun role for him. So, you know, this isn't somebody that kind of was in retirement mode. He was still very active in the industry. It's crazy. But some of the films, you know, when you go back and look at the diversity in what he was doing, obviously this is Spinal Tap, which was the first movie he directed. Stand By Me, The Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, Misery, A Few Good Men, The American President, Ghosts of Mississippi. It's just, I mean, he bounced around and could do so many different types of things.
And they weren't losers.
No. Yeah,
winner after winner after winner, which is like the track record is shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I always, though, will always come back to really his biggest acting role, of course, which was on TV as Meathead, you know, on All in the Family. And now that's a show that by the time it went off the air and he had left the program, I was still too young to watch it because I wasn't
really
born until, yes. Yeah, so I was born at 75 and
Terry.
And yeah, I know. But that's a show that went into heavy, heavy syndication. And I used to get home from work when I was a young sports reporter and a young sports copy editor, and I'd get home at midnight and, you know, I'd flip on whatever TV Land or whatever channel it was on, and I'd watch like three or four episodes of All in the Family, and it was always so much fun. The episode that always sticks with me too is this crazy one, and it resonated with me, right? It was the one where I think his favorite soda was RC Cola, right? Royal Crown Cola. I don't know if you remember this, but he did a taste test on the air where it was a blind taste test between Royal Crown Cola, Coca-Cola, and Pepsi. And they're like, you can't do it. You can't tell the difference. And they set him up and he took a drink of each one and he made that little swig. And, you know, and it was a fun little scene. And he just named them off. He's like, Pepsi, Coke, Royal Crown Cola. And then, you know, the audience explodes into approval. And it's just kind of one of those funny moments that always sticks with me, you know, early on. So it's just,
All in the Family, they weren't afraid to tackle issues that I think people are today. I think shows would not at all go near that. And the idea that there was some kind of a struggle between the father and the son-in-law, you know, if they do have something, it's just a quick toss off. Now it isn't this kind of constant, like, what are you doing in my house? Kind of struggle. And I loved seeing that, you know, I let's just say I was close to that age. And so I marveled at what television got by with in the days of All in the Family and Maude, the Jeffersons, all those Norman Lear shows that took a chance. And even a Mary Tyler Moore show took a chance too. But we will miss that. We will miss people like Rob Reiner, who remembered what it took to get those things on the air and who try to make something better. Right. In the entertainment industry. And I don't know that all are out for that. I don't think that all are looking for a way for us to rethink maybe our stance on a lot of things. But yeah it's too bad. It's too bad.
Well, you know, heading into award season, and we know in just a couple of months, we'll of course get to the Oscars. And you know, when we get to that in memoriam,
he gets the last
one. You have to
one.
Think it'll be the last one. And I do wonder if maybe this is a time to where he finally gets his due. Because if you look at it, how many Oscar nominations does
one.
He have? Do you know?
One.
Yeah. One for best picture.
Was it for director? We'd have to look.
I think it looks like it's a best picture nomination. So
really, that's kind of a group thing.
Right.
But yeah, he could get a posthumous one. You never know. They're so funny about that stuff. You know, how do they pick who they're giving them to?
Right. So, it's one of those funny things where in retrospect, like at the time, it probably made sense. Like, you know, he's probably not worthy of it. But when you look at it, when you look at a career in a whole, you start to say, like, how did Rob Reiner never get nominated for an Oscar, right? Or win, you know, or get nominated more. Yeah, it's just that single best picture, because he was a producer as well as director on A Few Good Men. So, yeah, just a really tragic story, situation. And, you know, if there's anything I think, you know, we can do to honor his legacy, and this is a perfect time to do it, is if you're off, go ahead and pop in a DVD, some streaming, whatever, and check out some Rob Reiner films this holiday season.
I suspect TCM would be doing a night of movies if he is. And yeah, and you'll see how good he is. I think it's a good reminder that we need to look at those things.
Right. Well, on that note, you know, in the holidays and things to watch, you did have a couple interviews, because there is a big movie coming out for the Christmas. I think it is released on Christmas Day, right?
It is so good. It's a present. Can I just tell you, it's a present. It's called Song Sung Blue, and it's not the Neil Diamond story at all. So don't get that in your mind. It's not about Neil Diamond. It's about a Neil Diamond interpreter played by Hugh Jackman, who like worked the fair circuit. You know how you'd see those acts that you didn't have to pay for to get to see in the grandstand?
Right.
This is like one that's kind of around in the midway, and he does his thing. Well, he plays a Neil Diamond interpreter. He falls in love with a woman who's a Patsy Cline interpreter, and they decide they're going to do an act together, Thunder and Lightning, or Lightning and Thunder. I'm not sure who gets top billing, but they do this kind of tribute show. And it gets a lot of attention. The movie itself is based on a documentary about the real people, Claire and Mike. And I find it was just smart. Kate Hudson plays Claire, and she's just wonderful. She sings like a dream. And you think, let's have more of this. Well, I got a chance to talk to Hugh and Kate. And here's a little bit about Song Sung Blue.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Taxes was feeling unwelcome. Now Taxes is an open door, literally, to new TurboTax stores. Meet our experts in person.
Hi, welcome in.
They're powered by smart tech and ready to do your taxes for you. Get real-time updates while you go about your day, confident your taxes are done right. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. TurboTax stores opening soon. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Sure, it's Bruce Miller, it's the Sioux City Journal. And is it easier to play somebody who's famous, or is it easier to play somebody who's playing somebody who's famous?
Both have their challenges.
Yeah.
I think that doing the double is probably harder, playing someone who's then playing someone. But you don't have that constant thing of everyone going, that wasn't him.
Yeah. Like, you know, I would think that when you're playing someone who's very well known, you risk... The risk is that it becomes sort of more of a mimic, than something that feels super honest.
Do they want touchstones? Are there things they're looking for where people say, oh, he's got to do that, or he has to be like that? When you did Peter Allen, I'm sure they were looking for certain kind of elements of that.
Yeah, but in a way, even then, it's the essence. So for Peter, it's that crazy, anything could happen, joy of entertaining live. And same for Mike. I think the touchstone for both of us were the family were on set. And so when the family were like, oh, this is the essence of the character, you know, that's the thing you want. But
when you see that lifestyle where they're, you know, scrambling to get work, is that, do you say, thank God I didn't have that in my life? Or
No, I think thank God we're telling stories of people who are holding on to their dreams, who are still struggling. When you see them in the documentary turning on the gas stove and you realize it's not for cooking, but it's for heat in the house, you just go, ah, oh, God bless them. Mm-hmm. And they're still holding on to wanting to entertain.
It's a dream.
Yeah.
Well, what did the family say about the film?
Oh, they're so happy. They're thrilled. You know, we were with them last night and Claire is just over the moon and she feels... they've said that they feel like we really took care of their life story. And that's a really nice thing to hear from them.
Yeah, I think they're moved. They're very moved by it.
Okay, so how did you get the Midwestern accent? Were you watching Fargo on a loop?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no. Well, I mean, there's a bunch of, we had the resource of the documentary. So there's a lot of different things. There's the, you know, Claire's accent, then Jess Hughes' dialect coach was amazing.
Yeah, so he works with me on every film because I'm an Aussie, but he sort of worked with everyone so that we, in a little way, just to make sure we sounded like we're from the same family.
Yeah.
You know?
Had the same quirks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then knowing people from Milwaukee, you know, and it just became sort of like a blend for me.
Why don't you sing more? Because you're so good, Kate. You've got to do it more.
Oh, thanks. I'm trying. I love it so much.
Yeah. She just released a Christmas song.
I did.
Yeah, so there you go. You can look it up.
There's a new one out there.
Here it is, right?
Exactly.
You know, and when you were doing Patsy Cline in this, I thought, oh, we could do something there. There's something there.
Oh, but I love Patsy Cline. I always have. It's such a tragic story. Her life story is very interesting. I love Dusty Springfield.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's been really one of my favorite stories. Her story is really amazing.
Yeah.
And, you don't have to twist my arm to want to sing or.
Well, keep it up. And thank you guys so much. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
This was my go-to now for Christmas movie. You know how you have to bring the family to somebody? This is it.
Good. Thank you, Drew.
Thanks, Bruce, for that interview. Did you say you did get a chance to see the movie yet? You've seen it or not yet?
Yeah, I loved it. It's the one, you know how you always have to bring the relatives to a movie? Do you ever have that?
And oh, yes.
What's the safest film I can bring them to without that? I mean, I can go back to Green Book was one. Gran Torino was another one. I mean, there's a whole list of them that I would say, okay, mom will be fine with this. And she would love this. She would have loved this film because they do a lot of those songs. And come on, so good. They would love it. So it's one that you dare take the relatives to. It isn't anything that where you go, oh my God, that was a little off-putting. And it tells a good story. And it has a, I don't want to say necessarily a happy ending, but it has a satisfying ending.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to see it. Not just because it seems like an interesting and fun movie, but living not too far from Milwaukee now, you know, it's why not? And he was Hugh Jackman. He was making the rounds recently in Wisconsin. So he was at a custard shop.
Did he go to Culver's?
No, not Culver's. He went to Cops, which is they only have, I think, two or three locations, but really, really good frozen custard. And he was serving up Song Sung Blueberry frozen custard. And they were giving away, I think, some hats or something. I saw some pictures of it. He ended up on you know, like one of those morning TV shows. And he was eating Kringle, and it got a little bit cringy because they gave him a knife to cut it, but it wasn't just a knife. It was like a Wolverine blade that you wear on your knuckles. But yeah, you know, it's funny when you mentioned the, like, you have to go to a movie with the relatives. My worst memory of this is back in, what year did this film come out? In 2004, my grandparents, this is when I was still out in New Jersey. And I had like a day off of work, you know, so and my parents like insisted, they're like, no, you're coming with us, because my grandparents were in town. They're like, we're going to the movies and you're coming with us. And I'm like, I'm a grown man. I'm an adult. And I'm still going. You know what the movie was? It was Christmas with the Cranks. Do you remember that one?
Yes. Oh,
that is one of the most dreadful movies I have ever seen in my life. There's like, you try to think, like, you know, every movie, there's a little something good about it, right?
Right.
I can't think of anything positive to say.
Unredeeming,
about this.
Unredeeming.
This is a movie, I had to look it up on Rotten Tomatoes. On the critics' tomato meter, it has a 5%. That's like basically one person said, yeah, that's okay. And even for the fans, right? Even for the fans, where you're talking about 50,000 people rated this movie, 40%. I mean, this is just,
oh my god.
Well, and this isn't a movie that it didn't have, you know, anybody, you know, like, no. Jamie Lee Curtis was in it, and Tim Allen, and oh man, yeah. So I had to go to Christmas with the Cranks. But so, you know, before we wrap up though, I do have an important question, and this is tied to holiday films. Where do you stand on this debate?
Oh, the
Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Drama happens at Christmas, so yes, it is.
I think my kids are now all of a sudden excited because I talk to them. You know, they're like 14 going on 15, and you know, so at that point, like, R-rated is just a matter
14
of
going on 6.
Right, right. Good. Don't even get me started. So I showed at least one of them the trailer to it. And then a few days ago, she was like, can we watch a Christmas movie? I'm like, sure. Can we watch Die Hard? I'm like, yes, but we actually didn't have a chance to watch it. So my plan this Christmas is we are going to watch Die Hard. We're going to enjoy it as a family.
What
we're going to enjoy
Hard
the merriment.
Two?
Die Hard 2 is absolutely a Christmas movie.
Wow.
It's one of... You know, it's not as good as the first, but it's still a fun.
You've
got to
do both, though. Come on.
Right. Of course. I actually went one year. I had a conference for the Online News Association, and it was in Beverly Hills at a hotel.
Nice.
Within walking distance of the 20th Century Fox building that they used to film Die Hard. So I went over there. I took pictures of it. You look in the lobby through the windows, and it still kind of looks the same. It is that building.
What hotel were you in?
I can't remember what it was. Was it a...
Some of those hotels have been used for a lot of movies.
Oh, I've seen it before. It's like I remember even watching something where it was on TV and it was like taking place in Beverly Hills and a car went turning down a thing. And I was like, hey, kids, I stayed at that hotel. So it's definitely, you've definitely seen it. I'd have to look it up, but I can't remember offhand.
Well, how cool is that?
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. So be sure to watch plenty of Christmas movies, which includes, of course, Die Hard, one of the great Christmas movies of all time. I mean, it's basically if Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a Thanksgiving movie, and the only Thanksgiving movie that I could really think of, then Die Hard's absolutely a Christmas movie.
You only get one Christmas movie to watch. What is it?
Only one?
Yep.
I mean, obviously I'm going to say Die Hard, but in all seriousness, I'm like a Christmas movie. I always love watching National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's another one, which it's not the greatest movie, but it's just one, you know, like even I would rather watch that than A Christmas Story. And I love A Christmas Story. And we visited Cleveland before my kids were born. And my wife and I, like, we went to the house where they filmed the exterior shots, and the guy that delivers the leg lamp in the crate,
yeah,
was actually like an extra from the neighborhood. He's there signing autographs. I'm like, dude, I'm not paying $40 for you to sign a photo of yourself, which is what he was basically doing. I mean, I understand it. You're trying to cash in on your 1 minute of fame, but you know, that was one I saw that in the theaters when it came out. It's I know it bombed at the theaters, but it's an enduring film. I do love it. You know, I don't know, maybe National Lampoon's Christmas 1, A Christmas Story 2.
Okay.
How about you?
Yeah. Christmas Story is my number one, because I find that, you know, when they run it like continuously.
Yeah.
If I come in late, I can still keep going and I know where I am and then just start the new one. It's like you used to be able to do in the theaters.
Yeah.
Where you come in late, finish it off, start the new version, you're good. And I can recite the lines. That's how much.
Oh, yeah.
I do like Christmas Vacation, but I remember when it came out, I was disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this isn't as good as Vacation.
Right.
But now it's a classic compared to some of the films we get. Bad Santa is another one I love. I think it feels really good. But snarky things are the things I really like the most. I can't stand It's a Wonderful Life. Don't even ask me about that one.
I hate that movie. Yeah. I hate it.
We'll see, you know, could we not get another black and white film on the Christmas weekend? Mm-hmm. They always run that sucker and you go, we don't need that. Give us something else. And I people are Grinch crazy this year. There's the Grinch everywhere. You see it with the McDonald's meals. You see it at Walmart using their advertising. You see a lot of products. So I'm wondering if a Grinch movie sequel will be coming out at some point. You know, they say, this is a franchise that has some money in it. Let's do it. And Walton Goggins does a nice job as the Grinch. So maybe it will happen.
Yeah.
Next week, the best
next week
of 2025.
There you go.
So you've got a little watching to do. I'm sorry, but the homework is gone.
Oh, I'm going to have to really ramp it into full gear here. All right. Well, I'll do my best to try to watch enough movies so I could at least give you a top three of the three movies I've watched this year.
I'll watch two movies this year. That's good, right?
Exactly. All right. Well, on that note, you know, of course, have a Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful holiday season.
Too.
Happy Hanukkah. Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. That's why we say holiday season,
right?
You know, because there are so many holidays wrapped into this time of year. Just enjoy it. Enjoy time with your family, and have a wonderful holiday. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.